So I'm trying to get the mouse to work with my computer, but the batteries had gone dead. It's a matter of finding new batteries that are charged, that have all the power in it. And sometimes, listen, this is true about spiritual life. It can grow dead. I mean, even the scriptures speak about this. Revelation chapter 3, and Jesus speaking to the church of Sardis, and he says, quote, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Wow, dead. There's a church supposed to have the living Savior, the power of the Spirit of God, power in prayer, salvation, the power of God in the Word of God. I mean, so many things to be a living body of Christ, expressing the light and the radiance and the witness of the living Christ. But now Jesus says to his church at Sardis, "You're dead." Once alive, but now dead. Now that could be true sometimes of our own spiritual lives. None of us want to be spiritually dead. None of us want to have that kind of word given. Listen, if we were that spiritually dead, I wonder whether we would even come to this daily devotion and seek a word. One good indicator may be that you and I are here together today and in the sight of the presence of the living Christ, that we care about it. And we care about it for our own lives. We care about it for the body of believers that we are connected to. We care about it for the sake of the entire body of Christ. Why? Because God cares about his body. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus died. Jesus is building a church. Jesus is sanctifying, caring for, empowering, and has sent the church on a mission with all the powers of heaven. Where else has God put his power but on the church? Well, in a ragged, beat up, end times, you know, world, yes. But not all of hell itself, accumulated together, still overrides heaven and God's promise, God's pledge. Jesus said, "I'll be with you to the very, well, always to the very end of the age." And so, listen, how do you stop from going dead? Well, listen, what are the indicators? What are the indicators? In that church of Sardis, Jesus says, "Wake up, strengthen what remains that is about to die. For I've not found your deeds, the works, the erge, these things that Jesus himself did." He said it in the Gospel of John, "I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing." We read about in Ephesians chapter 2 that we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Erge. This is the supernatural operating works. These are the very things Jesus did. This is what bearing fruit is all about. And John's Gospel 15, chapter 15, tells us that we've been chosen to bear fruit. Now, we can't do anything without Jesus. Matter of fact, in John 15, we are told we cannot do anything on a spiritually productive level outside of the spiritual singularity, the source, Christ. Some of the indicators would be that all those works, winning souls, answer to prayer, massive intercession, deliverance for those who are demonized, healing, preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, doing the spiritual gifts that God has given us, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and visiting those, well, in prison even. Some of the signs that we've gone spiritually dead is that we remember what it was like to be alive and know that we are not there. Now, sometimes there are believers that are backslidden, and they need to kind of stay spiritually dead so that their conscience won't be, well, convicted concerning the fleshliness or the doors they've opened or the sins they've allowed in. And, you know, they're handling the misery and everything else. I don't know how any believer can handle the misery of being backslidden. Though weak believers can be, well, tricked by the enemy in the beginning and stumble and fall and not know how to get up, sometimes believers do fall back into the flesh and grieve the Spirit of God, and sometimes believers get busy in the world, and they no longer care about massive prayer and seeing a living body of Christ, or being a witness for Jesus, or winning souls, or even caring about a lost world. How do we know we've grown dead? Listen, does anybody pray anymore? What about that quiet time with Jesus? What about the sense of the living presence of God in our lives? Any answered prayers lately? How about any witnessing, any souls led to Christ? Is there any activity? Is there anything to say that we are spiritually alive? If someone was to look at us, sense us, observe us, could they see, sense, feel, know anything about our relationship with God? Would to God that others could look and say, wow, something is in your life, something powerful, something spiritual. I can see it in you. I can see it in the deeds. I can see it in what you do. I can see it in the way you love. I can see it in the power of your prayers. I can see it in the answers that you get. What a man of God, what a woman of God answers to prayer. Well, I tell you what, there are those that can know that you're spiritually alive because you're after them. And you want them to know Jesus. You love them. Listen, how not to grow spiritually dead involves knowing the indicators of when we've gone cold, gone dead. There's no activity. Spiritual death is a reference to no activity. It's not a matter how emotionally loud you are. There's a lot of emotionally loud churches that are dead. When Jesus says dead, he's referring to the outcome, the output, the fruit, the deeds that manifest out of our lives. And the normal things that when we're growing in Christ, and that's all it takes, growing and obeying. If you're growing in Christ and obeying the Word of God, you will have a strong and dynamic relationship with God. You will begin to bear fruit. You will bear more fruit. You will get answers to prayers, win souls, learn your spiritual gifts, help the hungry, get food, do the work, bless the church, be a light to the world. My goodness, that's if you are obedient to the Word of God. That's how it's designed. God designed salvation to be deep, wide, broad. There is no deeper, broader, wider spiritual experience to know God, to know God's power, to have every single promise of God be yes, not maybe, yes, for those in Christ. Believer, you are born of the Spirit of God. A new nature is within you. You've got the mark and the seal of the Spirit of God. Let me ask you something. Are the indicators of spiritual death, spiritual dead, there? No real activity in prayer. No answers that you can remember. Maybe years ago there were prayers. No souls won to Christ. There's just no activity. There's nothing that Jesus taught us to do being done. And when an entire church gets that way, Jesus is, well, he's going to take the rights. He's the head of the church. He died for it. He shed his blood for it. He said, I will build a church that the gates of hell shall not be able to withstand or prevail against. But a church that would be clothed with the power of God from on high, that would be able to turn a world right side up towards God, that would be unstoppable, immovable, indefeatable as it grows stronger and stronger and becomes more and more powerful. Now that is the will of God. That is what God has designed. We can see it in his words. God did not design a weak, powerless, compromising, spiritually dead church. Collectively, nor did he design this for you and I individually. It's not God's will to be dead. I mean, I've done a lot of funerals over the years as a pastor, and in that casket, dead bodies, no activity, no communication. Listen, they can't do anything. Dead churches can't do anything. Dead Christians can't do anything. And so the evidences, prayerlessness, no answers, no souls, no activity, no healing, no miracles, no demonstration of the presence and power of God, no sense of the living, active, radiant power of the Spirit of the Lord. He's been grieved. He's been quenched by this stifling disobedience and inactivity. Jesus says to the church of Sardis, Revelation 3, you know, that they were once, they had a reputation of being alive. Now that's the will of God. Now Jesus enters in. And if he needs to speak that to you and I today, let it happen. Because with the stern words, and I believe they're shocking words, they're words that bring the living Jesus, in a sense, he's invading the church and waking it up. Now he's telling them what they need to do. You've got to understand that salvation is if we believe, if we repent and believe, and the development in Christ, though all the promises and all the blessing and all the privileges and all the provisions are there overwhelmingly, if the believer stays spiritually passive or beat up, yielded to, or not understanding the battle with the old flesh nature, the world, and the devil. We can be beat up at times. Well, the issue is then, how do you not grow that way? I remember years ago where a young lady led to Christ. She was a cocktail waitress, led to Christ, on fire for Jesus, wanting to win people to Christ. Obviously, with her witness, her life, her new walk, her testimony, she was doing it. She came to me one time and said, Pastor, I've been hanging out with some believers that are, you know, 10, 15 years old as a believer. And some of them are backslidden and just don't want to do anything for the Lord. She said, and there's the question, is it inevitable that we all backslide and have to do that? And I said, absolutely not. It is not part of the plan. God doesn't plan us to, get excited and be filled with Jesus Christ, his power, his love, his word, and activity, then grow dead, then get right, then grow dead, then get right. No, that's not the plan of God. Strength to strength, faith to faith, glory to glory, development. Sanctification is a dynamic work of God. You ever read Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. As a matter of fact, no matter how deep, wide, broad, and powerful your experience of receiving Christ, the moment of salvation was, the truth is that we can grow more and more powerful. You will grow deeper and deeper. You will learn more and more. You will begin to bear fruit and bear more fruit and much fruit and fruit that lasts. God designed us to enjoy this relationship with him, to go deep in this relationship with him, to become a witness by our life relationship with him, and that by the obedience to the word, to the commission that God has given, there would be an incredible output. But when we stop, when we grow cold, when we've let other things infect us to where we have been spiritually silenced, and the indicators of prayerlessness, no souls won, no miracles, no seeming flame of Christ, no sense of being on fire, no quiet time, no time for God. Well, when all that's there, those are indicators. Dead, dead, dead. How do you not? Well, I think very clearly is to understand God's will, God's provision. Jesus said, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. He'll never leave you or forsake you. So this presence of God is permanent, eternal. Even Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, that the Spirit of truth would be given to you forever, unceasing, unbroken, eternal, forever. So I think that we need to, first of all, never neglect so great a salvation. Never neglect so great a Savior. Never neglect so great a Word of God. Never neglect prayer. Never neglect worship. Never neglect your relationship. Don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil, even though you battle them at times. And if there's times you stumble, get up. Don't wait. Don't think that a week or a month going by will solve the issue. Get up now. Get up quick. Go to the throne of grace. It didn't turn into a throne of briars and listen. God wants to lift you up. God wants to build you up. And that's why the church of Sardis was invaded by Jesus. And he told them, you're dead. Wake up. But he gave them prescription. He called them back to life. Like Lazarus in the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. Maybe God's saying to you today, come forth. Come forth. Don't neglect that salvation. Don't neglect the truths. Don't neglect time with God. Don't neglect prayer. Don't neglect doing the will of God. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Stand in a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you do battle the world, the flesh, and the devil, realize that victories have been won for you in Christ on the cross, that victor is in you and with you to the end, that he can lift your head, sympathize with you, help you, care for you, and carry you along the way. God has made provisions and given promises about being strong and developing. And for those that want to stay alive and powerful and revived, praise God. That is the will of God, and you can do that. You can do that. Whatever the background right now, if you're backslidden out there somewhere and you got this by the providence of God, may the Spirit of God seize you, draw you back into that living, dynamic fellowship, relationship with Jesus Christ that has love and joy and radiance. Again, a love for the Word of God, to obey it, to put it into practice. You're not going to grow spiritually dead if you don't neglect your salvation, Jesus, the Word, prayer, worship, obedience. As a matter of fact, those are the things that will broaden, strengthen, and build layers and layers of spiritual depth to your life, to keep you from being pushed back and becoming dead. Listen, Jesus said in Revelation 3, the prescription for the church is the same for the individual. He says, remember therefore what you have received. See, salvation, Christ, the Spirit of God, the promises. What you have received, what you have heard, remember the Word of God. Now, we're to obey that. And, of course, repent for our deadness. Now, that's all that's necessary. Some people have to wait. Oh, I'm waiting on God to come down and hammer me. Well, maybe he'll do that. That's not what you want. Why don't instead we just repent of our spiritual passivity, our moaning and groaning, our excuses, our acknowledgement that times we get so caught up in the world, so busy, that we've neglected. Tell me, what's more important than Jesus Christ, the salvation you have, the power of prayer, what can be done, winning souls, in a fallen world going to hell quickly? What? What could so captivate our lives in comparison to this unequaled, incredible, awesome, awe-striking Savior, Jesus Christ? May the breath of God breathe upon you again. May the Spirit of God bring revival to you. May the principles of the Word of God. Love Christ. Believe the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Grow even stronger. Never neglect. And if you have, get up now. Turn it around so God can use your life to help turn the world right side up towards Him. This is Russ Dizdar, 31 Days Ablaze, ShatterTheDarkness.net.